Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the content in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
This is Chris Gunty of the Catholic Review. With us today on Catholic Baltimore are Bill Baird and John Matera. Bill Baird is Executive Director of Management Services and Chief Financial Officer for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. John Matera is the Archdiocesan Controller. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. So we're talking today about the Archdiocesan Financial Report for Fiscal 2017, the year that ended last June. Tell us a little bit about the process of auditing and review that goes into that report.
The financials that we have are a combination of several different sectors of the Archdiocese. So we have our main sector is the Central Services Group, which primarily it supports all the parishes and schools. But we also include the insurance operations, mm-hmm. Which, again, all of our employees' benefits are centralized through the insurance operations. Also included in our annual audits is our Embracing Our Mission Capital Campaign, our Archbishop Annual Appeal, our Partners in Excellence program that for inner-city school tuition assistance, and our child nutrition program. So all of those things go into the audit, and we have an annual audit by Grant Thornton.
So that's an outside agency that does the audit. And then once that information comes back, is it reviewed by some key organizations here, the Board of Financial Administrators, the Board of Consultors, those kinds of things?
Yes, we have a lot of different boards that review it. On an annual or on an ongoing basis, we have the Audit Committee of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And the Board of Financial Administration receives the final audit. The auditors talk individually with the Board of Financial Administration, as well as the priest consultors, as well as with the Archbishop himself.
Mm-hmm. And everybody then, by the time this is ready to report, they're all comfortable with the fact that these numbers are being reported accurately and responsibly, correct?
Yes.
Excellent. So what are the highlights of this year's report?
Highlights of this year's report are we had a good year. I think as a lot of things in our economy have been benefiting from the improvements in the stock market, that certainly helps with our investments, specifically in our insurance programs and in our pension plans, which are the biggest investments that the Archdiocese has. Additionally, we've seen improvements in offertory in our parishes, which obviously helps with our financial support. Obviously, very, very grateful for the benefits we get from our donors, done very well. We're coming to the end of the Embracing Our Mission campaign, which we had the last couple of parishes do their campaigns this year, and those things are reflected positively in the financials as well. So all in all, a good financial report.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Embracing Our Mission is coming to an end, you've already started dispersing some of the funds that have been collected over the last few years, right?
We've been intentional about making regular allocations to the specific case elements in the Embracing Our Mission campaign from the beginning. So as cash came in, the idea was to try and deploy that in the best way possible. When the campaign is all done, mm-hmm. We are going to do a full accounting for the Archbishop and for the various bodies, the Board of Financial Administration and the consultors, as well as other parts of the Archdiocese to reflect the success of the campaign, but also the great initiatives that were a result of it.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges from that fiscal year that just closed?
Continues to be a challenge, even though offertory continues to be a positive trend. You know, we continue to spend a lot of energy on the Archbishop's Evangelization Program, the Light Brightly Visible. Mm-hmm. That continues to be something that develops and grows. That we've embarked on the new pilot group of pastorates, as he's calling them. That's going to be an important change in what we've done in the past. Certainly will have some financial impact because of the investment made to improve the evangelization programs around the diocese. I think that's a major one. The other big challenge is schools. We had to close a couple of schools last year, which is never a great exercise from a community standpoint. But from a financial standpoint, it's the intent is to try and get us in a better financial condition to support the schools that remain and continue to invest in the schools and do the good work of Catholic education around the diocese.
What are some of the biggest sources of revenue for the Archdiocese? John, can you tell us about that?
Sure. The primary source of income is what we call cathedraticum assessment, which is a calculation on all the parishes in terms of the unrestricted income that they receive. So primarily offertory income is assessed at various it's a step levels, so the smaller parishes are taxed a little less. But that's our primary, and that's what we try to keep our budget within. So that's a very important parish.
And there are other sources, though? I mean, some of those?
The other sources that we use are the annual appeal is critical. So the annual appeal brings in money that for our programs, for our evangelization programs, those areas. The cathedraticum tends to support more of the overhead type things that every organization needs, accounting, legal, human resources,
heat for the building,
you know. Heats. But the annual appeal really goes then towards our ministries.
And that focuses on the Archbishop's pastoral plans and priorities. That's why it's the Archbishop's annual appeal, because it really supports the ministry that he has in all the places around the diocese, right?
Yes.
Great. When we get that money in, where does it go? How do we spend that?
On the annual appeal itself?
All the revenue that comes in. I mean, what are the biggest categories of spending?
Well, our biggest category, as in most nonprofits, is going to be the labor that supports these. So that's our number one.
Got to pay for the people.
The people and the things that are surrounding the people. So the benefits are a very large part of what we provide and also our cost structure.
So supporting each of the programs, the various departments within the building, or the Archbishop's office itself, which is made up of the vicariates and a lot of the support mechanisms that are specific to the Archbishop's, really day-to-day operations. You've got management services, which is fiscal facilities, risk management, IT, and investments. And then you've got other departments like evangelization, development, human resources. I mean, these are major elements for the support of not only the core elements the Archbishop needs to operate, if you will, the corporate offices of the Archdiocese, but the support mechanism for our parishes. And that's a really key element, because I would submit that that a lot of the efforts that the Archbishop has certainly built here continue to reflect our ability to go outward and not only support parishes and schools, but also evangelize with parishes and schools, which is obviously the key and highest priority the Archbishop has.
Right, and certainly part of that would be the clergy personnel office, the office of religious, the office of vocations, because we need workers in the field. You know, we need priests and sisters and brothers and deacons and seminarians to really advance this mission as we go along.
Correct, and I think the support of those areas, not only in the building, from how everything from how priests are assigned to the programs that are there to support them in their ministry and them as pastors and as if you will, mission workers in the field, is a critical element of the financial structure of the Archbishop's corporate office.
And that kind of work really is done by, you know, some people who have been here a long, long time and other people who have just joined the staff, but they're all really committed to advancing the Archbishop's mission and the mission of the church, which is to create more disciples and bring more people to Christ.
I think it's critical that as we go through the hiring process, it's a very strong element of the hiring process to have folks that not only are disciplined in their area of expertise or the field that they work in, but also have a heart for the church and have a heart for the mission of the church. Not only just believing in the, if you will, the Catholic teaching, but taking a step further, but believing in the light brightly visible, believing in evangelization and the mission of the church as it's directed by the Archbishop. And I think that's a critical element, not only in an archdiocese like Baltimore, but in the church as a whole. Mm-hmm. And we see this, you know, everywhere from the way we're guided by our shepherd, Archbishop Lori, to the way the Pope is guiding the church around the world.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. Well, after the break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more with Bill Baird and John Matera about the archdiocese's financial picture. This is Chris Gunty, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. With most students in the Archdiocese of Baltimore's 19 high schools extending their day with athletics and performing arts, many of those institutions continue to make investments on the facility front. With no place to expand in Maryland's capital, St. Mary's Parish and School in Annapolis continues to develop the campus of St. John Newman, its mission 2.5 miles to the north. A decade after it opened an artificial turf field there, St. Mary's dedicated an adjoining three-story team house last September. The 15,000-square-foot facility, which cost approximately $5 million, includes a weight room, laundry room, boys and girls locker rooms, and a team ministry room. 50 years after it opened in 1966 in Severn, Archbishop Spalding began renovation of its Performing Arts Center, a project dedicated by Archbishop William E. Lori during a liturgy in September. Lobby and exterior upgrades were part of a $6 million project that included LED lighting, an acoustic wall and ceiling system, modern sound system, and seating for nearly 1,200. A new stage floor and curtains were also added. Pat Brady, chairman of the religion department, built an altar, adding that special personal touch. Ready for spring meets is the new track at Archbishop Curley High School. It's the final enhancement to the Curley Bowl, which includes a new artificial turf field for football, soccer, and lacrosse that was completed in 2016. A new $1.9 million scoreboard was also part of the project at the boys' school in Baltimore. And finally, 5 years after it moved from Frederick to Buckystown, St. John's Catholic Prep continues to develop a campus initially built for St. Thomas More Academy, a pre-K through 8 now in Middletown. It will soon dedicate its $500,000 Della Plain Roca Team Center, a 3,000-square-foot addition that includes a fitness center, boys and girls locker rooms, and office space. For more on these and other stories, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm Kevin Parks.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish, or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica Gift Shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, and we're talking with Bill Baird, Chief Financial Officer for the Archdiocese of Baltimore, and John Matera, Controller, about the Archdiocese's financial report for fiscal 2017. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the work that the Archdiocese does in a lot of different ministry areas. One of the things I want to talk about is how much support goes to parishes and schools, and how much support is for our senior priests and senior clergy. John, can you tell us about that?
Well, on our senior priests and our clergy, that's an ongoing item, obviously, and that runs about $2 million a year for care in, all the way from retirement through the later stages of life, and all the assistance is and that is growing. We have more priests retiring each year, so that's an important element that of our budget. In terms of parish and school support, it's significant. Everything we do, especially in fundraising, the only way it's going to be successful is if we have the buy-in and power of all the parishes and schools behind it. So they tend to get a lot of that parish share. So in all of our campaigns, for instance, in our Embracing Our Mission campaign, large amounts of parish share is given to that. So overall in that campaign, parishes have received about $28 million from that campaign from their parish share. So in addition to the campaign elements that we are fulfilling, the parishes have also received about $28 million. Annually, on the annual appeal, we have a very rich share on that. And the parishes there receive about $6 million of the $10 million that we have. So it's basically the better the campaigns do, generally the parishes do as well.
The parishes benefit from that as well.
And then the schools, as another extension, we have a significant amount of support for our schools. And a lot of that's reflected in not only the operational support we have here in the building, but also in the fundraising support when it comes to things like Partners in Excellence. Mm-hmm. A lot of the elements of this recent capital campaign were school-specific. And the extension of that to more direct school support on the campuses of the schools has been really an important element of not only what we do every day, but what happens, as John said, with the campaigns of the Archbishop. Bishop directs.
Between the annual appeal, the endowments that we have in the Catholic Community Foundation, the Embracing Our Mission campaign, the Partners in Excellence campaign, and the school assessment fee that we receive also from parishes, last year we gave out about $4.4 million in tuition assistance alone. So very significant.
That is significant. Now, in addition to that, you also help parishes with their financial management, correct? I mean, you have auditors and accountants who are able to go out to parishes and assist them. How do you ensure that they're managing their funds well? What kinds of things are done there?
Well, it starts with structure. So we have a decent structure in terms of financially. So every parish and every school operate under a consistent chart of accounts, so we're able to more easily understand their financials when we're looking at that. We do have a group of auditors and a team of audit professionals that go out and make sure that the parishes and the schools understand the charts, understand the internal controls that are necessary, especially around cash handling, around tuition handling. So we're constantly trying to make sure that the main systems of revenue are understood by parishes, the controls that are there are also understood and being followed by parishes.
And financial stewardship is the foundation of all of that. I mean, right. The same way the Archbishop challenges us with the resources that come to central services are the same tenets that we challenge the parishes and schools with. Good financial management, good financial structure, good financial leadership, and making sure that they respect and understand the generosity of the donor intent that comes with every dollar. I like to tell people, this is a business where every dollar we have is raised, and we're constantly having to raise more.
Right.
It's all a gift. It's all a beautiful gift, and if we have that in our hearts and our minds, it not only connects us to that evangelization model, but it has us really think hard about how we make the most out of every dollar. And I think that's a powerful message when you look at the foundational elements of what the Archbishop has us doing.
In November of last year, an organization called Voice of the Faithful, which calls itself a movement of Catholics concerned with transparency and accountability, they reviewed the websites of 177 archdioceses and dioceses in the country to gauge the accountability of financial principles. using a 10-question scale, the group looked at whether diocesan financial information could be easily found and reviewed. Their results were very interesting, and the Archdiocese of Baltimore was in the top six, getting 55 out of 60 points on their scale. What's significant about that?
I think the transparency piece is incredibly significant, not just for diocese, but the way our culture operates and how we operate our business every day. As I said before, you know, when you've got a business that really is dependent on donors and dependent on meeting donor intent and fulfilling the missions that donors believe you've projected in your mission work, and that those dollars are going for that purpose is really important. Part and parcel to us as financial people is to make sure that people feel like they've got that transparency. So if you were to go online and look for things like our financial statements for central services, how we use Cathedraticum, you know, how campaigns are going and how those campaigns are operated, it starts, you know, in this day and age with a lot of the web presence and the ability of people to access that. But we also encourage folks to call us and with questions. And just like this report here on the radio, the report in the Catholic Review and online, invariably we get a couple of questions from folks out in the field about, you know, how we do business and how we do our financials. And we welcome that, because I think that transparency is not just a, hey, great, you know, had a survey say we were good at this. John and I are constantly talking to each other about how we get better at it and how you continue to have that transparency. Because I think the one thing we also learn is transparency a lot of times is in the eye of the beholder. And I think surveys like the one the Voice of the Faithful did reflect that. Because we can think we're as transparent as we want to be, but if people can't get to that information or can't access it in a way that they can understand, then we are not doing the best job we can for the Archbishop to make that transparency available to them. I mean, I give John's team a tremendous amount of credit because they spend a lot of time and energy keeping that fresh, keeping it new, and having the information available to folks when they need it.
Now, the Archdiocese also has an ethics hotline that allows people to anonymously report concerns about either finances at their parish or at a school or human resources concerns. John, has that been around for a long time, and what kind of reports do you receive? Do you check out everything that comes in?
Well, it has been around. It's been around for at least 15 years, and it's really the bedrock of any institution. You have to have the ability for people to report, especially if they want to do it anonymously at some point. But we get a lot of financial items. We get a lot of HR items. I myself, actually, because I'm part of the internal process, I don't get them, so I don't see it. So in case people are reporting on our stuff, but it does go to outside people as well. So even if Bill was brought up on one, he would actually not see it, and a outside board member would actually see that. So there's a lot of controls within it, and really I think it's the you have to have that. It's another strong support system that we have, and if you look at our parishes, you should see a lot of signs. What's one of our audit things is to make sure that it's visible, that parishioners can see it, that workers can see it, and you know, it has been used at least in the last 15 years.
That's
good. And every one of those items is rigorously researched, put to the right department that's in charge of that. The Archbishop and the Vicar Bishops are all made aware of those items. These are not things that we obviously take very lightly. We wouldn't have this system if we just kind of were going to, it's a nice place to have this.
Yeah.
I think all good organizations that value the ethical nature of their business would have this type of system in place, and it's helped us a lot. We've learned a lot from it, and we don't get a ton of inquiries there, but when we do, they're usually something that is very intentional and something we have to spend some time on.
Why are financial accountability and good financial management so important to the church?
I would repeat that we have a donor base that is very dependent on us fulfilling the mission that the Archbishop laid out for us. And if the transparency and financial use of those dollars doesn't reflect what the donor intended, we have a really big credibility problem. And it makes it not only harder to operate the business, but to raise money in the future. Mm-hmm. So it's a really, really important thing that we are good stewards of the dollars and also good reporters of how those dollars got used, so that we can perpetuate the long and storied tradition of the Catholic Church.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We've been talking today with Bill Baird, Chief Financial Officer for the Archdiocese, and John Matera, the Archdiocesan Controller, about the Archdiocese's financial picture. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Chris.
This is Christopher Gunty of the Catholic Review, and you've been listening to Catholic Baltimore.
For 143 years, New Cathedral Cemetery has served the needs of the Catholic community of Baltimore and Central Maryland. New Cathedral is the only cemetery owned by the Archdiocese of Baltimore and is the final resting place for many religious orders and famous citizens. 125 acres of rolling hills, trees, and beautiful monuments, the cemetery is an oasis of peace and tranquility and is located off Edmondson Avenue just outside of Catonsville. New Cathedral is dedicated to the task of tending to the mortal remains of our dearly departed and has many more years of available space. If you are in need of a burial site, vault, monument, or marker, or just a respectful location to place your cremated loved ones, our counselors will help you through this process and make sure the wishes of you and your loved ones are honored. Visit us online at newcathedralcemetery.org, like us on Facebook at New Cathedral Cemetery Bonnie Bray, or call 410-566-7770.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.